Okay, we want to welcome you to Women of the Word. This is the November 2017 session, and we are completing this year's 2017's Women of the Word. And I want to thank everybody for being here, and we're going to talk about being preserved blameless. That was what our foundational scripture was way back in January of 2017. And that was our theme, preserved blameless. And it comes out of the scripture out of 1 Thessalonians 5:23, if you remember that scripture. And it says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And when Jane had that story, that vision, each year she would earnestly pray about, you know, what were we supposed to, what did the Lord want her to teach on? What were we to talk, to teach women about? And this is what he gave her. And probably, I guess it must have been back in 2016, one Friday night when we were together, and I asked Janie, I said, "What can I pray for you? How can I pray for you? What can I come alongside you and pray for?" And she thought, and she thought, and she goes, "I want you to pray for me that I will be preserved blameless." I thought, wow, okay, I don't even really know what that means. And then that ended up being our theme for 2017, and that's kind of what she's been talking about. And we got through a lot of it in January, if you want to go back and listen to that, what was recorded. And she started here in this verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And went through 1 Thessalonians and the other scriptures above that, what it looked like to be preserved blameless. And then we went into David. And there were many times that the Lord preserved David, many times as he was out doing things. And so that tied in beautifully to us finishing up this warrior, being learning how to be a warrior in God's army, not a worrier. That's been such a great little saying for me. I want to be a warrior. I don't want to be a worrier. Because with worrying, where's your mindset? It's on the world things. It's not on the being a warrior in God's army. When you're in that warrior mentality, you've got all of God's kingdom backing you when you're in that warrior mentality. When you're over here worrying, you just got the good old devil over there with you and those toxic thoughts. So that's been huge. So this has been that's probably one of the foundational truths that I have learned out of this study. Jane also told me that she had been under the authority, the teaching of the Word of God for over 25 years here at the Bible College. And that because of that, that was one that helped, just got her through a lot of what happened in the last 4 years. That's what, even before that, when she was in Hasty Elementary, when she was the principal, when she was an assistant principal, all those things. But especially these last 4 years after she was diagnosed with the multiple myeloma that she had. And so with that, she could always say, you think about that, anytime you'd ask her how she was, what would she always tell you? "All is well. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul." And most of the time, "I'm fine. I'm good. Yeah, I'm blessed." But as I've learned about being this three-part being that we've taught, that she taught us about, and that's what your scripture card is about, is being that three-part being. Spirit, soul, and body. And that's where this came from. The 1 Thessalonians, that's part of where that scripture came from, that we are a three-part being. And one of the things I've talked about a couple of times is that when we've got the Holy Spirit, when you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit. But you didn't get a new body, and you didn't get a new soul, a new mind, a new heart. That didn't happen naturally. So I had to be taught what to do. And the scripture that we had out of Ecclesiastes, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. We saw what happened with David. When David got his eyes off of God, what happened? He started getting his eyes over on Bathsheba or doing other, you know, things that he wasn't supposed to be doing. As I think the Lord gave me this vision, his three-cord strand was frayed. Okay? Spirit was still with him. Spirit's still with us. But his flesh and his soul got frayed. It wasn't lined up. And so he got off task, and that's where the sin came in. That's where he wasn't following what God had to do. So to be preserved blameless, this three-cord strand, guys, has to be united to be preserved blameless. So when we've got the Holy Spirit, each and every one of you in here that know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit. Okay? He's going to teach you. He's our teacher. He's our comforter. He's our counselor. But only if we're receptive to it. He's a gentleman. He doesn't come over and take over. But if you're open to that, he will absolutely do all the promises that are in the Word of God. He will provide those for you. But you have to do your part. So we want to talk about being, how do we become preserved blameless? Being strong in that three-chord strand. First of all, the first thing you have to do is surrender. Okay? You must hear the calling of Jesus because this three-chord strand to be preserved blameless is not for the non-believer. These are for the believers. And so, first of all, to even be considered to be preserved blameless, you've got to know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. And that's when you receive your new spirit, the Holy Spirit. And then number two, you want to be that new creation in Christ. You get that new soul, that your mind is renewed. Your thoughts and your very character want to be like Jesus. Okay? And 2 Corinthians 5:17, that's where I'm getting this from. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And guys, if you want to see me get really upset and really angry about something, look at me and go, well, I've just always been that way. There lights a fire inside of me that just... And here's why. Here's why. Because you are a new creation. Yes, that is your old self. No, you don't have to be like that anymore. You don't have to. God doesn't want you to be. You know who wants you to be like that? Satan. He delights in that, okay? And what's his job? To come and kill, steal, and destroy. And that old nature, when you live in that and not in this new creation, in this new spirit that you have, okay, that's when the devil gets a hold of you and you can't, your cord becomes frayed. It becomes raveled. You're not this nice, strong three-chord strand. And that's when sin comes in. That's when you don't make wise choices. You make ungodly choices. So when we have that renewed mind like Christ, let's look at Romans 12:1-2. This is some great word of God. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. There's that transformation by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. That renewing of your mind. Remember, the mind is part of our soul. Okay? That's got to be renewed. It can't stay in this worldly, what it's been after all these years. Stay in that old self because you're this new creation. But the new creation has to be taught. Think about a little baby. He's new. He's been born. But he doesn't know how to do things. So he has to be taught. Okay? So that's where you are here, is this new creation in Christ. You've got to renew that mind. And what do we renew our mind with? The Word of God. The truth. The Word of the truth. And how often do we need to do that? Every day. Every day. We feast on His Word every day. And when we don't, that soul becomes starved. Think about, do all of y'all eat every day? I eat like 3 times a day, sometimes 4 times a day. So, how much are you feasting on the Word of God? My earnest prayer is that you're feasting at least once a day. And if you're in that praying without ceasing, then you should be more and more on and on, that continual thinking and talking and being in communication with the Lord. That's what He's asking us to do. That's that renewing of the mind that then happens. That's when when something comes against you, you know what decision to make. You don't have to go, now, do I need to? No, you already know, because you already know what the Word of God says. You don't have to stop and think about that. So when we've had the surrender, we've got you're the new creation, and then you need to make. You've made Jesus your Savior. He saved you from hell. He saved you from eternal separation from Him. But now you're, and so that's when really your eternity began. Was when you made that profession. Yes, Jesus, you've chosen me, and I choose you. I want to be with you. That's when your eternity began. But while you're right here, did you make Him Lord? Lord and Savior. Did you make Him Lord? When we make Him Lord, that's how we're going to be preserved blameless. So we make Him Lord, we forsake our own will. I don't want to do the things I used to do. I want to be on God's path. God's working all around us all the time. We have paths we can choose to either be with Him, or we can go and choose to do what we want to do. And again, with the Holy Spirit already knows what we're supposed to be doing. But if that mind is not lined up with the Spirit, okay, we're over here. Here's the mind. Here's the Spirit. And we've got our mind and our body over here. If they're not lined up, then they're over there doing whatever they want to do and making poor choices and allowing the lies from the pit of hell to take over our thought process. I'm no good. Oh, I can't do this because I always have been this way. Okay? Those are lies. That's not the truth. That is not the truth. So when we've made Him Lord, then we want that, we've got those lined up and we can hopefully be that strong three-chord strand. Okay? Your soul belongs to the Lord. Not that it is well with your soul for your benefit. Now, this is kind of an interesting thing here. Your soul belongs to the Lord, but it's not you don't want it well with the Lord for your benefit. Can you listen to what I'm saying? You keep your eyes on the Lord so that you and God are one. Okay? When you say it is well with my soul, you don't want to just say it's well with my soul just for me. Really, you want it to be it is well with my soul so that me and God can be one. That's our purpose. That's the heart that Lord wants to see it. Because if I'm just saying, well, it's well with my soul, that's almost like for me. But He has a different, he wants you to have a different heart about that. Does that make, you see what I'm saying? Let's look at John 17, verse 21. And this is when Jesus was praying. This is, again, one of the first scriptures Jane ever taught me to, ask us to read and go back and read several times, because it's when Jesus is praying to the Father. And guys, this is a prayer that He prayed for me, and He prayed for you, and He was praying for the disciples. When I say it was for me and you, after He prayed for the disciples, then He was praying for all the future saints. And this was what He said. He said that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Wow. That's God's will, that we would be one. So that's, again, your scripture card talks about this three-chord strand. If we're one with Him, we've got the Spirit, we've got our soul and our body all lined up with one in Him. That's powerful. That's powerful. And guys, we've got a lot going on right now. Lots of things have happened. And we've got a lot of very sad souls right now. Okay, we've got grieving going on. We miss Jane. Okay, and that's a hole that we have. But these truths haven't changed. These truths haven't changed. And when we get our eyes focused on what we're missing instead of what we have, that can be a distraction. Hear what I'm saying? I'm not saying it's okay to miss her. It's okay to be sad. But when it takes you, that's what you focus on all the time. Now it's taken over. That's not good. That's not of the Lord. And so how do we get by that? But it hurts so bad. There'll be a time, there'll be a season. Scripture tells us to everything there is a season. There's a time for grief, and there's a time for dancing. That's interesting you put those two together, grief and dancing. Okay? Well, I don't feel like dancing right now. Okay? I don't. But there'll be a time. That season's going to complete, and there will be a time for dancing. So even as we get ready for these holidays, okay, that we want to, and Thanksgiving's coming up, and Christmas is coming up, and there's a big hole there. There's a big hole there. But what I'm going back to is I want to be preserved blameless. And by doing that and pursuing God and pursuing His Word and keeping this and keeping Jesus in front of me will help me not to live in that funk, to live in that grief. And I say live in it. I'm not saying not to have it, but I'm saying living in it. And if you're living in it, then you know what? You're going to miss what God's trying to tell you. You're going to miss out on the blessings He's trying to give to you. Again, please hear me. It's okay to grieve. I'm not telling you that's... pull up your big girl pants and let's go. That's not what I'm saying to you. Now, there might be a time that needs to be said to you, but that's not what I'm saying tonight. I'm just saying, ask the Lord, help me to stay focused on You so I can pursue You, Jesus. I want to be preserved blameless, okay? But I can't do that because my heart hurts. My heart hurts. And He understands that. Don't you know He understands that? He absolutely does. So you ask yourself, how do I pursue God? How do I do that? Your motive should always be surrender. Your motive for pursuing God should be for surrender, not for personal gain. Let me say that again. Your motive for surrender should not be for personal gain. It should be totally to surrender to God's will. Not my will be done, but Yours, Father, but Yours. It's like saying to the Lord, listen, I want to read this to you because I want to make sure I say this right. It's like saying, no, Lord, I don't want You. I want myself. But I do want You to clean me and fill me with Your Spirit. I want to be on display in Your showcase so I can say, look what the Lord has done for me. These sound like good things, and they are when they're the right motive. The right motive is that you surrender to have the sovereignty of Jesus Christ Himself and wherever that takes you. It's having the right motive. So if you just ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, just to say, okay, now I'm not going to hell. Okay, that's a good reason. That's a good reason. But there's more. There's more is what I want to have that right motive. To be one with Christ. Okay, so that you can say with confidence, it is well with my soul. And Lord, would You please find me preserved blameless. That's what we're here. That's what He wants to hear. I think I can say this for most everybody in this room, the prayers that we prayed for Jane, that we believed with all of our heart, with everything that was within us when we prayed over her, when she was here and when she wasn't here. We prayed that woman would be healed physically right here on this earth, and that she would walk back in this door, and that we would see her standing right here and being our teacher again. I believe that with all of my heart. Pete Bumgardner believed that with all of his heart. But that didn't happen. But now what I'm doing is I am earnestly pursuing the Lord. I'm working with everything I can to renew my mind and to surrender that brokenness, surrender that sadness, surrender that my soul and my mind to the truth of His Word. And continue to stand firm in the rock of His truth. Let's look at John 13:7. There's lots of things that have happened. I do believe we prayed all the things that we knew to pray, that we stood on those healing scriptures, and they're still true. It's not that they're not true, okay? But this scripture out of John 13:7 says, you do not realize now, this is Jesus, He was talking to the disciples. He says, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. Now, this particular thing He was talking about when He was getting ready to leave. He was with them and He was leaving, and they were like, what do you mean You're leaving us? You know, and we don't get that. I believe this scripture goes along with those same things. There's many things that God does we don't understand. And let's look at Deuteronomy 29:29. And you guys may have heard this scripture. The secret things belong to the Lord, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. Okay, so there's things that belong to the Lord, and this is one of those, guys. I don't understand. Pete Bumgardner, who is the, you know, our teacher, our pastor, he doesn't understand. Okay, but it doesn't change the truth of the Word of God just because we don't understand it. Okay. I hope these are comforting words to you. I don't know that if I'm telling you something you didn't already know, but sometimes I have to be telling repetition, repetition, repetition to try to get it in this thick skull of mine, to try to get it into my heart and into my soul so I can be transformed. The good news is that God's plan, whatever it is, I can promise you, this didn't catch Him off guard. He had foreknowledge to know what was going on. And that's a hard thing to go. You knew about all this, and this is how you wanted it to turn out? I don't get that. That's just where my heart is. I don't get it. But I go back and stand on Jeremiah 29:11. You guys all know that scripture. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. They're always for good. They're never for evil, ever. That's not His character. Unlike my own plans, sometimes out of Proverbs, and you don't have to look this one up, but Proverbs 14:12 talks about our own plans can lead to destruction. Now, my plan for Jane, I didn't think would lead to destruction, because I'd still believe that it was of, we still did and prayed the things we were supposed to. But just because it didn't turn out like we wanted it to, like we prayed for it to, that we stood on those promises, God says promises are still true. I just believe I go back to Deuteronomy 29, and Pete and I talked about this today, because I said, Pete, I'm struggling with this. He goes, I am too. I'm still there. I don't have answers. But I'm still preaching the Word. I'm not changing how I preach on healing, because it's still true. I'm not it doesn't change God's truths any, just because He didn't answer like I thought He would. It's almost, and I said this to you earlier, it's almost like we're trying to manage God. We've got to be careful about that. Praying His Word, standing on that, that's good. He wants us to pray His Word. But also, when He doesn't answer it that way, who am I to go, oh, well, God, you didn't do it. Here's what you need to do. Who am I? I don't know the beginning to the end. I don't know. I don't have that foreknowledge of what's going on. So who am I to tell God what He should be doing, even in the goodness of the things? What we prayed was good. What we prayed was a good thing. And I would pray it again. And I will pray it again. In order to be preserved blameless, we have to pursue God. We have to pursue Him. David did. David did that a lot. In a lot of things that we read and all these different scriptures and things in the studies that we did of David these last couple of months, David was called a man after God's own heart. And he did that because he loved the Lord. He knew where to go to. Now, when we look at David, we know that he sinned. Okay, he got off his path. He didn't do everything right. But when he wasn't pursuing God, he did sin, but he would always take responsibility for what he did. He would always come before the Lord and go back and repent and tell the Lord, I'm sorry. I have displeased you. And we read some things about that. But David pursued God. He would always he would seek God in direction before he'd go into battle. Before he would, most of the time, when his heart was right and when his three-cord strand was put together, he would do that. But also, the Lord preserved David. 2 Samuel 8:6 tells us, so the Lord preserved David wherever he went. The Lord preserved David wherever he went. So that was very comforting. And the scripture tells us that the Lord, he preserved David. So the Lord does the same thing to us. Let's look at the scripture, Psalm 139. Let's look at Psalm 139. And you'll read, as we read this, you'll see God pursues us just like He did David. Look what He says. O Lord, You have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit up and when I sit down. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and I rest at home, and You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. He already knows about. He already knows about you. So now that we know that God is pursuing us, I want to talk just a little bit and share some of the ways that in some of the Psalms that David wrote, how he pursued the Lord, how he put God first. And from this, those are things that we can learn that David did. And the heart that pursued God is what made David the man after God's own heart, because he pursued Him. David was doing amazing and wonderful work for God. Why? Because God was with him whenever he went. Think about that. When he was little Goliath, God was already gone before him. He trusted the Lord going up against that big giant. Battle after battle after battle. He knew that God was with him, so he confidently went into that battle. He already knew that battle was won. And why would God be with him wherever he went? Because he was God's man, doing God's work, doing it God's way, on the throne that God had placed him. But the bigger picture was he surrendered his will to God. He went out there doing it on his own. He would seek the Lord. He lined his body and his soul up with the Spirit. He pursued and then he surrendered. He pursued after God, and whatever God told him, then he surrendered to that. And sometimes surrender in the battle terminology is not a good word, but in this battle, we want to be surrendered to the Lord. Okay? David stumbled. He had weak moments. Yet, he had that spiritual foundation in his life. And even though it was tested, and it was almost nearly broken with the thing with Bathsheba, I mean, that almost broke David. But God's faithfulness preserved him over and over again. And David knew where to go back to. He was preserved blameless because of his repentance. He would come back to that. David showed that he was a redeemed soul by his repentance, and he testified to God's forgiveness. And we read Psalm 32 two times ago. If you want to go back and look at that, that was a psalm he had written after he had been with Bathsheba and asking of the Lord's forgiveness. His sin had been had devastating consequences. Remember, the child, his first child, was taken. But he also had that forgiveness, and the Lord made good out of that when we had Solomon was born. And then Solomon became king. So there was good brought out of that repentance. But there was consequences for those choices he made, severe consequences for that. But his eternity and his security and his relationship with God were preserved through God's grace and mercy. And aren't we glad we have God's grace and mercy today to do that? I want to look at Psalm 63. This is one that that David wrote where he pursued God. So I want to read that to you. Psalm 63. It says, "O God, you are my God, and early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you." And when I read this, my soul, I have a new vision of what that looks like. I always thought soul just meant salvation. Anytime I thought to save my soul, I just always thought that was only about salvation. And I've learned through this study and through listening to the teaching that God gave us through Jane, that my soul, that's that inner being. That's what's thirsty. That's what's renewed. That's what, when David's saying, "My soul thirsts for you," he wanted to be transformed to that new creation, even though that was New Testament scripture, but that he knew about Jesus. He didn't know his name, but he knew that he wanted to be that new creation. His soul thirsts for you. "My flesh longs for you." So there's our soul and there's our body. Okay. And if you remember back, and I don't have that scripture, but the Spirit never left David. He was anointed with the Spirit back when he was a little shepherd boy, and the Spirit never left him. So now he's writing this psalm, "My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as the marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. And when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you on the night watches, because you have helped me, and therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me." Through verse 8. Once again, he knew that soul, that inner being, had to be lined up with the Spirit. He knew that. And that's what he's teaching us here. And I love that, because that's been a new revelation for me. Okay, that was a new something for me, understanding that. We're not talking about salvation. This is a great thing. David chose to be a God chaser. You've heard of storm chasers and sail chasers and ambulance chasers. David was a God chaser. I want to be a God chaser. I want to be a God chaser. David pursued the Lord. Okay. He pursued the Lord. He was also an amazing shepherd boy. Let's look at Psalm 23. We all know Psalm 23. And fortunately or unfortunately, we seem to always associate that with a funeral. And I think we do because it says, "Though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death." Okay? But this scripture, this is where David trusted the Lord. He had pursued him, and he starts out, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He was pursuing. He already knew there was nothing he needed, because God was going to provide it all for him. "He makes me lie down in those green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters." He's pursuing him, And then he's surrendering. He's saying he leads me beside. He restores my soul. There's that word again, my soul. He's restoring it. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And here's that. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Isn't that comfort? You're with me, Lord. You're with me. He was pursuing him and he was remembering, you're with me. You are there with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He's protected and he knows he's protected. And guys, that's what I believe. When Jane, all everything she went through, she knew she was protected in her soul. Now, it didn't manifest in her body. But I do know, and I think every one of us can say that we know that she knew that her soul was protected. And it was any time that she could utter or you knew, it was always well with her soul. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He had confidence. He knew. He knew he had eternal life. And guys, this is when he's a little shepherd boy. He knew that. So he could be preserved. Like he was pursuing the Lord. And then let's look at Psalm 101. And this is in the New Living. The New Living, Annette, if we can look at that. I like this version of this. This captures what we call David's vow for personal conduct. And this is where he surrenders to God's very character. It says, I will sing of your love and justice, Lord. I will praise you with songs. I will be careful to live a blameless life. When will you come to help me? I will lead a life of integrity in my own home. I will refuse to look at anything vile and vulgar. I hate all who deal crookedly, and I have nothing to do with them. I will reject perverse ideas and stay away from every evil. I will not tolerate people who slander their neighbors. I will not endure conceit and pride. I will search for faithful people to be my companions, and only those who are above reproach will be allowed to serve me. I will not allow deceivers to serve in my house, and liars will not stay in my presence. My daily task will be to ferret out the wicked and free the city of the Lord from their grip. God, that's what we're to do here. We're to ferret out the wicked and free the city from the Lord of their grip. Okay? From the wickedness. We're to still do that today. Here's what David says, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. I have surrendered to you. I don't want to live that worldly life. I don't want to live with those wicked people. I want to serve you. I want to be preserved blameless, Lord. So here he wrote the Psalm 101. And those are all good things for us to do today. That just wasn't written for David. Okay? These are all things that we can be doing to be preserved blameless. So, there are practical ways to be preserved blameless. We've talked about David. We've talked about those things that he did, and we've done a lot of study of David. And I want to bring that around now in the second session to how we can apply those to our own life. What does that look like? That sounds all nice and all good and churchy when it says to be preserved blameless. That sounds really good, and I want to do that, but what does that look like for me? So in the second session, we'll take a few minutes for a break, and we will come back and talk about what that looks like for us to apply it to our lives practically.